How's it going? Got the CD going. I'm getting ready to get this. Amen. Well, blessing to be here. Give everyone a few minutes to get signed on here. I probably needed to start it about 5 minutes ago so that we could kind of make sure it's going to stay on. Thankful for the weather we had this afternoon. We got a little bit of liquid sunshine, and God blessed through that. I'm thankful to, it just seems like He's sending it right on time. I know we've had some dry spells and some extremely wet spells, but God knows exactly what we need when we need it. If you've got a hymn book with you, take and turn over to page number 185, 185, My Savior's Love, 185. And we'll sing out here. Got a few songs tonight, and I've got a Bible up here somewhere, and we'll get going. Page 185, My Savior's Love. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden He prayed, not my will but Thine. He had no tears for His own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. On the third, He took my sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Thank You for Your blessings upon us, Lord, how You take care of us. You know our very needs, and Lord, You're concerned with them. You care for us. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. Father, I pray that You would meet with us tonight. I pray that You would direct hearts. Lord, that You would speak to lives exactly where they are, Lord. And Father, You know every need that's out there. I think about the opportunity that we have going over the internet. And Lord, how we're not having a live service here today, but yet we are. And Lord, I pray that You would just meet and speak. And Lord, just do Your work as only You can. And reach the places that man can't touch, Lord. I don't want to speak to the ears. I want You to direct it right to the heart. And Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Take your hymn books, turn over to page number 363. 363 wonderful words of life. We truly do have the greatest message, the gospel message. I'm thankful how God's blessed us with it and He's entrusted us with it. We have this great gift, and we should be singing to this world. They don't know what joy really is. They don't know what happiness really is because they don't have the Lord. They don't understand what peace is truly like. And we have some wonderful words of life. Good old Philip Bliss song here. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Amen. One more here. Let's turn over to page number 349. 349, the Comforter has come. Excuse me. Amen. Well, 349, the Comforter has come. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, e'er human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise give. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. The long, long night is past, the morning breaks at last, and hush the dreadful wail and fury of the blast. As o'er the golden hills the day advances fast, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise give. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. On the third, lo, the great King of Kings, with healing in His wings, to every captive soul a full deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells The song of triumph rings. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise give. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine, that I, a child of hell, should in His image shine. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's love divine. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Sing that fourth verse again. Oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine, that I, a child of hell, should in His image shine. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise give. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Amen. I'm sure thankful. Listen, I believe we've allowed some to rob us of the great promise of the Comforter that lives within us, the great promise that God's given to us, that we have the Holy Spirit, the blessed Holy Spirit living within us. And listen, He is that Comforter in our times of weakness, in our times of need. I'm thankful He doesn't just show up when we need Him. He's just always there. Problem is we don't recognize that we need Him every hour. And boy, I'm thankful the Comforter has come. Take your Bibles again. Let's go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And we'll look at verse number 11 again. We'll start back up. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 11. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 11. If you're willing and able, once you get there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 11. It says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You, Lord, for the promise that we have. Lord, there's a great need today in our churches all across America to come out from among them and be ye separate. And Lord, I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that that's Your desire for every child of God, is to come out from among the places, Lord, that we've put ourselves, that keeps us from being close to You. Lord, as well, I do pray that you'd meet with us tonight. Because, Lord, as much as that's your desire for every believer, Lord, I know that you've got a desire to speak to us tonight. Lord, that we would take and apply this to our hearts and our lives. And, Lord, I know this morning's message was definitely a message to think on, to chew on, and, Lord, just to apply. Lord, I pray we'd take this the same, and we'd just rejoice in your goodness. Father, the promise is given to your children. Lord, I'm thankful to be your child. I don't want to be a child like this world. I don't want to be a child of yours that acts like I'm your enemy. Instead, Lord, I want close fellowship with you. I pray that would be the desire for everyone that hears tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've looked at this, and I definitely preached it this morning in that idea of come out from wherever you are. And we've came into some places, and we are our own worst enemies, just like we saw there in the first part of this passage in verses 11 through 13. It wasn't the Apostle Paul's fault. It was the believers there in Corinth. It was their own fault. They had brought themselves to that place. But tonight I'd like to speak on a little, well, the same thought, but instead of it being such a burden to come out, you know, it would be awful to think that God said, look, I don't want you to have that. I don't want you to have that. I don't want you to have that. And then never give us anything that we can have. You say, preacher, you mean God's going to give us something? Oh, he's going to give us something far greater than what we ever gave up. He's going to give us something far greater than what we've ever came out of. He's going to give us himself. And so he says, I want you to come out from among them, so that you can come in unto me. And so this is God's desire for all of us. I think about, I've got my youngest here with us tonight, and I think about how often if we were just to allow him to get into the cookie jar, that boy would live in the cookie jar. But we'll tell him, no, Jeremiah, you can't have that cookie right now, or you can't have that muffin right now. You got to have something else. We always give him another, something better, something. It might not be exactly what his old flesh would want, because I'm telling you, there's very few adults that are not on that same sheet. Listen, if I could just eat cookies all the time and not have a result from it, I'd do the same thing. I know Brother Stephen was talking this afternoon to me about some chocolate milk, and I know that he likes to dip a cookie in that too. And boy, the only problem is we understand the consequence. And so God says, look, I'm calling you out of this world and calling you out of sin and calling you out of self so that we can have a greater relationship with him. You cannot have both. If we were to look at this passage in verse number 17, he says, wherefore? Now that wherefore I'm going to explain here in a little bit. But he says, come out of them, or come out from among them, and be ye separate. And God wants to use us. God wants to be with us. God wants to dwell in us richer than ever. But he cannot, because we've grieved the Holy Spirit when we're not come out from among them. And the Bible tells us that we can't have both. You say, preacher, why not? Because you can never come in until you first come out. You see, if we've ever got to that place where we've crucified the flesh and quit being so carnal, we could be more like Christ. In James chapter number 4 and verse number 7, he says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And you say, preacher, what's so wrong with being double-minded? Well, it's the way of the world, for one. And there's very few politicians that haven't ran on a platform or on an idea or an agenda that when their opponent runs on that they're not opposed to it. They'll oppose it. You say, preacher, that's not us. But yet I find in James 1 and verse number 8 that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so I would ask us tonight, are we ready to come out, to come in? Come out so that we can come in. Notice, if you would, we find what we're coming out of and what it does. There's some benefits to this. And so, first of all, I find that if I'm coming out so I can come in, then I'm released from the burden
of religion. Released from the burden of religion. May I tell you that religion has plagued America. America has religion all over it. There's many that would have met today, or I remember Jonathan had showed me a picture when COVID really first started coming out and everyone was isolated and quarantined, and we had the time of supposed to have that 14 days or so, or 21 days, whatever it ended up being. And he sent me this picture on my text, and it was a picture of some Catholic minister, and he was squirting people when they would drive by with a water gun. Now, I don't know if that was real or not, or if it was just Photoshop, but listen, there's many today that gotta have those religious rites, those religious practices, and they have nothing of God in it. And God says, come out from that. You say, preacher, aren't you religious? May I remind you, in fact, you're right here in the book of 2 Corinthians. Take your Bibles, look over the book of James. I want to share with you what religion really looks like. What real religion looks like. Notice this. In James chapter number 20, or chapter number 1, verse number 27. Chapter 1 of James and verse number 27. He says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And notice this. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. He says, look, I'm calling you out of the burden of religion. May I tell you that you can't keep yourself unspotted from the world. But God can keep you that when you come out of yourself and come into Him. You see, you can't do that. He's calling us into pure religion and not the religious acts that we know today. And so we find that we're coming out of unrighteous works. He's inviting us to come out of the yoke of religion. Notice back over 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. In verses 14 and 15 he says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? I'm telling you today, there's millions that are standing up and professing that they know God, but yet they know Him not because they're still unrighteous. And so, God's inviting us away from the yoke of religion. In Romans chapter number 14 and verse 17, the Bible says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Boy, I'm thankful that it's not about some, as I know the Lord and He's calling me into Him, it's not because I'm a Baptist. Oh, I'm a Baptist through and through. I truly believe the Word of God and the Baptist doctrine that lines up with it. But I'm afraid that there's many today that are polluting it and many that are trying to corrupt it and trying to say, and listen, you'll usually see me in a white long sleeve button down the front shirt. I'm going to wear a tie when I preach. In fact, if I'm going to church, I'm wearing a tie. You say, preacher, why is that? Well, because I'm going to give my best to the Lord, even when I'm not preaching. If I visit someone else's church, it's a revival. I'm not visiting right now, but if they're having a revival and I go and visit someone, guess what? I'm coming in my best because I'm not going there for them. I'm not trying to please them. It might be a raggedy old suit to them, but it's the best I have so I can give it to the Lord. I'm not going in the act of religion. I'm not going so that I can gain merit with the Lord, but I do want God to have my very best. And God's calling us out of the bondage or the burden of religion. I'm afraid that many today are so plagued with unrighteous works because they're in a yoke of unrighteousness. We're coming out of unrighteous works and we're coming into the light. If we're going to come out, we're going to come in. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now your light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Did you notice that? At the end of verse number 14, he said, what communion hath light with darkness? I wonder how many times churches are trying to please God without truth. Christians are trying to please God. And forgive me, I use that term very loosely. They're trying to please God in darkness. But if you remember that it was that men ran to darkness because their deeds were evil. They loved darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. May I tell you that Because of this idea of religion, many are dying and going to hell for all eternity because they don't have a knowledge of God. And so I find as well as I come out, I come in, I'm rewarded with the blessing of the residing of God. The residing of God is a blessing to me. In verse number 16 of 2 Corinthians 6, the Bible says, "In what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." I look at this and I find, first of all, the living God. The living God, I'd like you to hold your place in the book of 2 Corinthians and turn over to the book of Isaiah. And the book of Isaiah teaches us in chapter number 55 how big God really is. Now, I'm not even taking you to the passage of Scripture that tells us that His span is the universe. And span is 9 inches, or that measurement from your pinky to your thumb. And the universe can fit right there. I love it when Jeremiah likes to sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. Because what Scripture is, it lines up with. And the fact that God is that God, and yet He's living in us. And so I look over at the book of Isaiah chapter number 55. I'd like to share with you verse number 8 and 9. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." Boy, I'm thankful He's a living God. He's breathing. He's thinking. He's acting upon. He's doing everything that's necessary. He's a living God. He's not some inanimate object. He's not dead. He's living God. That's what the passage of Scripture shows us in our text tonight. That He is the living God. We are the temple of the living God. Now, I want us to understand this for a second. If He's not dead, that means it's to my benefit. Oh, it'd do you no good to be the temple of the dead God. That means you've got to pick Him up and carry Him around. Now hold on. I always use our offering plates here. It's usually the God of most people anyway. And so if your dead God needs to be picked up and carried around, this offering plate cannot get to the other offering plate. They can't carry on a conversation across the table. It can't move itself. In fact, they're dead. They can't carry on a conversation at all. I know some of you are trying to pick up on that. But yet, how often do we rejoice that He is a living God? Now, that word living is a very interesting word. Because it also, living also means residing. Where is He residing? Because He's living, He knows everything about me. He knows every need that I have. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4 and verse number 15, "For ye have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we were, yet without sin." Like as we are, yet without sin. And so this living God knows everything that we're going through. That's how He can say, "Cast all your cares upon me, for He careth for you." And that's how He can desire to bless and desire to be that God to us, because He is living. But living also means residing. Aren't you thankful? I look out across the church today and, well, this morning it seemed pretty full. In fact, it was almost to the point of, whew, we got a lot of people in here. I don't know that we're keeping our 6 foot, and some of it might be 5'9". I don't know, but we definitely had quite a few people in here this morning. It's funny, the front rows are the rows that usually never get filled up. I'm going to put some chairs over here on the side. Wouldn't you like to think the location of God is the fact that because we are the temple of the living God, that means that He's living there? I mean, I look out tonight and, well, there's only one pew that has any people in it. And I know we're not. I know some of you would have been back tonight. I know that. But when's the last time that you've rejoiced over the fact that the living God is living in me? That's what it says here in verse number 16. That ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and will walk in them, and I will be their God and they shall be my people. And so what he's saying here is that, look, I'm the living God, and what makes me living so much today to you is because I live in you and I'm dwelling in you and I'm walking in you. May I tell you, that's worth coming out of anything for, so that God can have full dwelling in me and I don't have to worry about making room for Him. He's got all of it. He's got all of it. And I know you're going to say, preacher, God's too big to be able to fit in me. I'm thankful He knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. We just sang about the Comforter has come. Boy, I'm thankful that God and the Spirit dwells in me. And the moment I got saved, the moment I trusted Him for eternal salvation, He came and He abode in me. He lives there forever. He's never going to take that away. He's never going to come out of me. I'm going to go to eternity with Him. I'm His. That Holy Spirit is that earnest or that down payment. I'm sealed until the day of redemption because He lives in me. And so as I think about the location of the living God living in me, I rejoice in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 5, where He says, and let not your conversation be filled with covetousness, but be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so I wonder, how many times do we count it a reward to come out from among them? I know this morning there's times that God speaks and we have that place of, I'm not ready to give that up. I'm not ready to release that to Him. I know, just like Rachel had hid those gods in that trunk, she was trying to hang on to them. But yet when it was time to really come back to the Lord, they were handed over. Do we count it a reward to hand it over so that we can have God reside in us fully and not grieve the Holy Spirit? Notice, if you would, as well, I find in verses 17 and 18, I can come out so I can come in and receive the bond of a relationship with God. In verse number 17, he says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Can I tell you God's desire? It's not so that He can keep you from some great pleasure that you think you're wanting. God's desire is to give you a great pleasure in Him as your Father and you as His sons and daughters. Receive the bond of a relationship with God. I told you I would explain wherefore in verse number 17. He said that in verse number 16, He's talking about living in us and dwelling in us. That's the reason that we come out, because He will come in. Oh, it's not just about us coming out and coming into Him, but it's the fact that we come out and He comes in. And we have this bond of a relationship. May I tell you that He's more than just a God. This world is okay with a generic God. In fact, even the children of Israel did not understand the relationship of the Godhead and the love that the Father had for us. And that we would be adopted in, and we'll look at that in a moment, but that He's promised us that I'm one of His. I'm one of His. Maybe I understand adoption a little bit different than most, because I am adopted. And maybe I understand it a little bit different than most because I have adopted. But that adoption means done. That adoption means it's not changing. That adoption means that you're in. And so God here says that we're His children. That we can have a deeper relationship and a greater relationship. Will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Do you remember how with Abraham there was none greater to swear? And so he just swore upon himself. He said, because I said so. I think about Moses, and when Moses had said, how do I go to the children of Israel? How do I tell them? I've already tried to lead them, and you want me to go back to them and tell them I'm going to take them out of bondage, but yet they didn't want that 40 years ago. And he said, well, who do I say sent me? And God said, tell them I am sent you. So, preacher, what are you getting at? God said it. Saith the Lord Almighty, the very God in heaven, the one that loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for you. He said, look, when you come out from among them, you've got a far greater blessing, a far greater rich than you ever sacrificed by giving anything up that you just came out of. You get Him. You get a deeper relationship with Him. There's some things church, I love you. But I don't love you like I love my boys. I'm sorry. But there's some times that it's just good to be around my boys. I enjoy it. I'm not saying I don't love to be around my wife. Don't get me wrong. But I want us to look at this picture. Jeremiah, come here, Bubba. Come here. Come here. You're all right. Chew it up. Come here. Come here. Come here. You know, there's some times he likes to give cannonballs. Don't you? And I don't like cannonballs a whole lot. They usually hurt. They end up hurting us. Don't they, Mama? But he likes to give cannonballs. You want to be with me now? You want to stay with me? I didn't tell him to say that. But you know, there's something special about being a father and seeing your children and being able to hold on to them, being able to love on them, being able to pick them up. Yeah, sorry, Bubba. You know the greatest part about those cannonballs? As he runs from across the living room and prepares to jump on you. Now listen, he's the size of a feed bag now. And so when he jumps on you, you know it. But you get to stay here. You get to hold him a minute. You get to love on him. Love you, Bubba. God said, come out from among them. Run across the living room and jump on my lap, and I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. I want you to be until the end. I want to be with you until the end too, Bubba. Does that sound good? Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. You don't have to hold your place in 2 Corinthians. Romans chapter 8. I want you to look at verse number 14. Why wouldn't we? Wherefore come out from among them? Why wouldn't we want to, so that we can dwell closer to Him? Notice in Romans 8 and chapter number 14, I'm sorry, chapter 8, verse number 14. Quit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. And so, I find here that the greatest joy that we could ever have is that we'd come out so that we can come in to a closer relationship with the Father. We're going to pray and close in prayer. But Jeremiah asked me if he could stay with me. And I'm just like my Heavenly Father. I want Him to stay with me. Just like the Father wants us to stay by Him. And so we're going to pray and we'll close in prayer. You going to be right there? All right, well, you be right there. Let's come up here and we'll pray. You ready? Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this evening. Thank You, Lord, for the truths that we have in Your Word. Lord, I pray that You'd help us tonight. Lord, that we wouldn't hold on to the things that are going to keep us from being even closer to You. Instead, Lord, that we would just relinquish those. Oh, Father, that it would be such a blessing as You reside in us. But then, Lord, as we have the bond of a closer relationship, Lord, we have the bond of a Father and a Son. Lord, a closeness that no one else can explain. Father, I pray You would just help us tonight to really purpose our heart towards You. And Lord, that we would draw nigh to You and You'll draw nigh to us. That we'd cleanse our hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.